Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And joining us now is the wonderful, the legendary Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network, and he joins us now. Mike, thanks so much for joining us up here in Portland, man. We always appreciate when you can make a few minutes for us up here.
Yeah.
Okay. What's happening?
I don't know what's going on.
We were so excited for Yammers that Swag just started pressing buttons in there.
It's all good. I appreciate the invite. You know, I'll hop on with that whenever you guys ask. But I just got geeked up because I haven't heard Tracy Chapman in a while. We're going to go. We'll go down this path.
Absolutely,
we'll
man.
We'll do this journey together.
That's
I
what
like
this
it.
Show is about. I'll start with the big one, man. I'm really looking forward to this one tonight. Washington State against Houston on the road. They're almost a 10-point favorite. The conference desperately needs this win, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say not only is that statement true, but I would say Washington State really can't afford a loss, maybe is the more appropriate way to classify a game like this. I mean, guys, like, they're in the top 20. We get that they're a good football team. And look, offensively, it is just insane to me how Mike Leach's teams just continue to operate and put up these ridiculous numbers. I mean, hell, before the season started, there were watch lists that had Gage DeBrute as the guy that was going to be the starting quarterback for Washington State, and he was nationally already being recognized. The fact that Anthony Gordon was able to snatch the starting job away from him and wait patiently, you know, transfer from City College in San Francisco, was in competition with Luke Falk, doesn't take that job, thinks he's going to get it the next year. Gardner Minshew comes onto the scene and is really one of the best stories in all of college football a year ago. And then he's kind of an afterthought, you know, in the offseason, earns the job, and all he's done is throw for almost 900 yards and 9 touchdowns and 1 interception in 2 games. So, look, this is the first real big test. They haven't played stiff competition just yet, and I think if you can take out a Houston team on the road, a Dana Holgorsen squad, to me that would be meaningful. And as much as I'm buying on Washington State, I'd feel a lot better about that investment, so to speak, if we're going to use the stock analogy, if they're able to pull off a win like this.
Yeah, it's always hard to judge early in the year when you haven't seen them play a legit team yet. We'll get that first test for Washington State. And last week, an interesting game that happened in the middle of the night, but I think we were all roped into it in Pac-12 territory. Washington and Cal, the delay. Cal ends up pulling off the upset. Were you more, I guess, impressed by Cal going into Seattle to getting a win, or disappointed in Washington and letting one slip when they had high expectations for this year?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I didn't see a UW team at home after what happened a year ago where they lose a game where their opponent doesn't score an offensive touchdown, because that's what happened in Berkeley a year ago. And the fact, look, the game is a little wacky, and I think we all understand. You get a 2-hour and 40-minute lightning delay where the power inside Husky Stadium goes out and you're playing, you know, they won that game, Cal didn't. It's Sunday morning, which is just kind of weird for me to say. And I will say this, like, yeah. There is something kind of cool. Like, we finished up our day at Pac-12 Network, and it was a long one. I got home. Game's still going on. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched a college football game in bed. Like, that was pretty cool for me. But I still, you know, I look at Washington, and yeah, there's some disappointment. I think people were so geeked up about Jacob Eason in that first game and kind of were like, oh, geez, this is what we've been waiting for. And look, there are throws that he's making that Jake Browning didn't make. And while all that's true, you know, they matched up against a damn good defense. And look, Cal's secondary, I think, is in the conversation for one of the best in the country, and their defense one of the best, certainly in the conference. So it was a stiffer challenge for them. I think the biggest issue, though, for Washington is how do you execute at a better clip in a game? 6 drops, you're not going to win games in the league. The margin, especially against a defense like that, is not significant enough where you can overcome that. And you can't overcome lost points in the red zone. Touchdowns or field goals instead of touchdowns was an issue for them. I think that's something that needs to be focused in on offensively for this team, and better execution on that side. But tip your hat to Cal, man. I mean, Justin Wilcox, what he's done in a short period of time with that team, tremendous. Talked to him earlier this week about it. He was certainly excited, but clearly the focus is how do we build on this? And there's some teams that where you worry, like, how do you handle and bounce back off of a loss? I think in Cal's case, it's how do you make sure that you can handle a win? and hopefully the leadership, like a guy like Evan Weaver and those types, are able to kind of carry that momentum, not necessarily against North Texas, because you got to assume and figure, not assume, but at least hope cautiously optimistic they'll take care of business. But once you get to league play, you know, that team's going to have to figure out ways to get W's.
Yeah, the Pac-12 slate this weekend on the Pac-12 Network, Montana at Oregon at 7:45. You got Hawaii and Washington at 4:30. And you've got Air Force going to Colorado at 10 a.m. as well. Mike Yam is our guest here. He's on Twitter at Mike_Yam. You got some road tests. You got a lot of Stanford, UCF, USC, and BYU. But before I get to some of those other games, I'm really, really curious. What are your thoughts on what's going on right now at UCLA and Chip Kelly? They're doing this ticket giveaway where they're giving tickets away because I feel like they know they're going to be outnumbered by Oklahoma. Oklahoma's coming in. Two bad losses to start the season for Chip in year two. Can you really put into words what you're seeing at UCLA right now?
You know, it's disappointing. I think if you ask UCLA fans, they're devastated. I think if you talk to the coaching staff, they're going to be disappointed with the execution. I think fans that are really upset, and I've seen some people say, like, this Chip Kelly experiment is crazy and it hasn't worked. It's like, whoa, pump the brakes. A couple things here. One, the Cincinnati loss, obviously it's not good, and I think we get that. But you go into a game where it's a road test to open up the season. Your best offensive player in Joshua Kelly doesn't play in that game. Your best wide receiver in Theo Howard doesn't play in that game. Your best defensive player in Darnay Holmes doesn't play in that game. They got 53 freshmen on that roster. That's the most in the entire country. And yet, had it not been for a couple bad turnovers from DTR, let's call it spade a spade here. I mean, even on that opening drive, an opportunity to get points, he just loses the handle on the rock. Even if it's 3 or 7, you know, that helps sway the game in UCLA's favor. And it was disappointing to see them in week two against San Diego State. It was great to have Josh Kelly back in the lineup for him. But once again, there's this youth, this idea of this team being young. And I do think it's a real deal here. I mean, these are younger players who just haven't been exposed necessarily to high elite Pac-12 type football. Like when we're talking about Power 5, not necessarily opponents, but like a certain degree of level of expectation for executing on the football field. So while I understand why fans are disappointed, I think you do need to take a step back. And if you said to me, hey, in 2 years, are we still going to be talking about struggles like this for UCLA? I would still be shocked. I'm still a believer in Chip Kelly. I think the resume and what he's done at the college level is huge. And I get devil's advocate will say, well, look, he inherited an Oregon team that had a bunch of dudes on it, and they were running an offensive system that he had in place for a couple seasons, all well and true. But I think that furthers the point that it does take time to build a program, and it really is a rebuild when you consider the amount of guys they'd lost in his first year and how many freshmen and sophomores they've been playing. And like I said, 53 on that roster right now, it's the most in the country. You just kind of anticipate some difficulties in the early going, but certainly against Oklahoma guys, I mean, look, 0-3, winless back-to-back seasons in non-comp play. That's not good.
Yeah, it's a tough start. He did get it going late in the year last year, so we'll see if the same trend continues this year for UCLA. The other LA school, it's amazing what the difference a week can make. I mean, JT Daniels goes down. They almost slip one away against Fresno State, and everybody's thinking, oh, God, here we go, true freshman quarterback. He lights up Stanford this last weekend, and now he's kind of the talk of the conference. Are you buying into what you saw from USC, and how do you like their chances at BYU this weekend?
You know, am I the only one who is buying on them? Like, have you talked to other guys this week that are high on what they've seen from USC? Because I feel like I've been doing a bunch of radio hits and doing actually another radio show, and it feels like everyone I talk to keeps saying, pump the brakes, Mike, pump the brakes. Like, we need to see more. I kind of get that. Look, I felt like USC was a really good football team heading into the season just based on talent alone. And while I was disappointed, and I'm sure that Clay Helton and the team were, that you know they lost JT Daniels in the first half, I was concerned for them in week number two against Stanford. I mean, Keaton Slovis looked a little bit like a deer in headlights in that second half against Fresno, and they gut out the win. Then they match up against the Stanford team. It's a conference game, and look, they're down, and they make a comeback, and they win that game, and Slovis is your offensive player of the week, and he sets a freshman record for the most yards in a first career start in school history. I look at their offense, and I say to myself, like, this is the real deal. Like, this is dangerous, and I feel good about this football team right now, and the fact that I think we looked at their first six games and said, hey, like the worst case scenario, you were saying 2-4. Like that's like the USC hater, I'd say. The person who was a little realistic kind of just skirted the, you know, kind of straddled that fence and said 3-3. And then the most optimistic SC fan was saying 4-2. Well, they've gotten two wins so far. BYU, I think they should beat that team, even though it's on the road. Like, you're looking at three with some tough games. We saw what happened with Cal and Washington. You know, that Utah game becomes crucial in that South Division. I like SC. I'm buying on what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. Mike Yam is our guest. Pac-12 Network. He's on Twitter at Mike_Yam. The Yammer is a good friend of the show. And we're talking about the big weekend that is. Kind of a two-parter for you here, Mike. And I know it, both are kind of different, but I want to tie them together. One, do you feel like you are seeing – are you seeing signs where you feel like the conference might be a lot closer to competing at a top level of college football like many of us want to? And then two, Brock Huard had a comment where he said this weekend is the narrative setter of the conference because of all of the big matchups that you have, some big road games, some big home games. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I'm with Brock on that one. First 2 weeks of the season, guys, the Pac-12 played two ranked opponents, Auburn, obviously in week one, number one, and Colorado in week number two, and they get that win against Nebraska. This week, they're playing three ranked opponents. Now, I think, you know, we touched on UCLA, Oklahoma, so let's just kind of punt on 0-1 there. Mm-hmm. You know, Michigan State, ASU, like, I'm going to be honest with you guys, like, I like ASU, but I don't know if I like them against the number one rushing defense in the country. They've given up negative 3 yards is what they're averaging right now in Sparty. Like, and then to go to East Lansing in a payback game for them where – this is a much different offensive line that ASU had a season ago. I mean, Manny Wilkins threw for 380 in that win down in the desert. I don't know if Jaden Daniels is going to be able to throw for 300 in a game like this where they're going to need Eno Benjamin. And I'm concerned because you got two freshmen on an offensive line that's looked okay at best against Kent State and Sac State, where Eno Benjamin has been taking a beating to try to get the yards that he's even gotten so far. So I think that's really tough. But I'll say this, like, and speaking, by the way, of offensive line, Stanford, no Walker Little and Foster Sorrell right now is doubtful for that matchup. In a game for UCF that is essentially kind of like their Super Bowl where they're looking for a P5 win going across the country. I know Costello's back, but I think that's an even hard one to figure out and to kind of handicap here. But I'm with Brock. It's a meaningful week. I say to myself, the league is not in awful shape the way people want to make it out to be. I mean, they got five teams, three consecutive weeks that are in the top 25. I'll be honest with you. CU gets a win against the Air Force. I'm thinking to myself, why not? Why not the Buffs in the top 25 right there? Cal has already got a win against Washington, and I know they looked okay against Davis in week one, but I think they go 3-0. Like, they're in that conversation as well. So I look at the league in its totality, and I say there's some really good football teams, but at the end of the day, I guess Brock's assessment is a good one. It's like that elite status, or at least the first part of your question with, you know, kind of competing at that elite level. Yeah. Like, I think Oregon is an elite football team right now, despite the fact that they lost in that opener. You know, I feel good about Utah. I think the Utes right now still are in the driver's seat to go and win the league. And absolutely, even with one loss, I'd still be making a case for them in the college football playoff. Their defense is elite, guys. Like, and it, I mean, like, really, like, college football elite. I don't know if they have the – look, they don't have the depth that Alabama and, you know, Clemson have, but – at least starter for starter, like, I'll roll with kind of Kyle Whittingham's team.
Yeah, I think the down part is right now for the conference is there one team that's good enough to rise above everybody else and make the playoff? Yeah. But I can make a counter argument that does kind of make it a fun competition because, as you just mentioned, it feels wide open. You could ask five different people, hey, who's going to win the conference? And you might get five different answers based on what we've seen the first 2 weeks of the season. So I'll ask you right now, put your money on a team if you had to today. Who would you take to win the Pac-12?
I'm still going to go Utah right now based off of two things. One, personnel. Two, well, three things. One, personnel. Two, they've been answering some of the few questions that we had heading into the season. And three, I think the schedule lines up nicely for them. Like, you know, if you told me to pick that secondary team, I think Oregon's still in that conversation. I think you and I can, or the three of us can talk next week after I see what happens tonight for Washington State. I want to see them against real competition. But to me, Wazoo's in that mix. I think Chris Peterson figures it out with Washington. I think Oregon is going to be there. Oregon's schedule is pretty difficult, though, and you guys, I know, probably have examined it every which way you could. I think it's hard to navigate, but let's just say, can you imagine if they ran the table with the opponents that they have remaining? Like, dude, like, how do you not make an argument that they shouldn't be a CFP team when it's a week one loss without Micah Pittman, without School or without Juwan Johnson. Now, those guys come back. I think the important thing is they have to play well, because I think if Oregon takes care of business and wins out, you could make the case for them, if those players, those offensive players, play good football, that offense is so different, dramatically different than the one that lost with 9 seconds left on the clock in a close game, down in Dallas. So there's still a lot of football to be played, guys.
Are you happy in your life? How's your personal life? Is it going well?
Oh boy. Guys, this is a radio hit about Pac-12 football. If you're willing, like, I'm cool to lay on the couch and give you the $20 copay. We could go that route, but I don't know how, I don't know if it's beneficial for anyone. No, honestly, guys, it's been awesome. It's the best time of the year, as you guys know. And, I'll be up in your guys' hood in a couple weeks. Actually, no. I got Oregon, because they're in Washington. So I got them in that game, and then I'm there for the Civil War at the end of the season. So I'm geeked up and really looking forward to being in Portland. It's obviously one of my favorite towns on the West Coast.
Well, you're always welcome to lay on our couch and talk football with us. We accept you anytime. And for that Oregon-Washington game, Mike, let's try to get you on for that weekend. We really appreciate the time. Great info, great insights, man. Thank you.
Anytime, guys, need me, just give me a shout.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.